Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Drew Unscripted, coming at you guys with a SmackDown Live review or SmackDown on Fox or whatever you prefer. And also, I'm going to throw in some news. Got some two new subjects I wanted to talk about regarding Ronda Rousey and Edge. So before I get started, guys, I just want to say hopefully everybody out there is doing good. Hopefully you guys are safe, positive mindset. Hopefully you guys had a good Friday. Hopefully you guys have a good weekend. Let's get into it, man. So obviously, you know, we had SmackDown Live. You know, SmackDown Live is obviously fresh off of WrestleMania. We have a brand new Universal Champion, Braun Strowman, who kicked off the show tonight. You know, Braun Strowman defeating Bill Goldberg at WrestleMania. A lot of people don't like the idea of Braun Strowman as a champion, just based on how his character has been portrayed. And also, Braun Strowman, obviously, his name was in the news because he made some comments about the independent circuit, indie wrestlers and stuff like that. I didn't really know too much about that. I didn't really hear about that too much until I started to hear that his comment was basically kind of calling the indie, you know, the indie circuit lazy. And I can tell you straight up, as a guy that goes to a lot of indie shows, they are not lazy at all, man. These guys put in a lot of work, so I don't think that was exactly the right move for Mr. Braun Strowman to say. Because, you know, as a guy that goes to several indie shows, those guys work their asses off, man. Those guys are extremely talented at what they do. And those guys have definitely earned their place in the ring, man. Those guys are amazing. And I'm talking about just like any wrestler in general that's on the independent circuit, you know, working hard, doing their best. But, you know, I'm not going to get into all that right now. Because, again, I really don't know the full story of what Braun actually said. I do know that he had made some comments that were taken as offensive. But, I don't want to get into that too much until I know the full side of it. Which maybe isn't a whole lot from what I've already heard. But, basically, you know, yeah, we had Braun Strowman kick off SmackDown. You know, he cut a promo, talked about how he took an opportunity and he beat Bill Goldberg. He says, Bill Goldberg threw everything at me, hit me with a lot of spears, but I am the Universal Champion. And it's like, all right, Braun, you know, Braun Strowman, back in 2016, when he started to get his solo push, I thought, all right, you got a big guy, he looks intimidating, and he can do the squash matches. You put him up against Brock. Brock immediately was a dream match for Braun Strowman. And yet, when we finally got that match, it wasn't exactly, you know, it wasn't exactly what we had hoped it would be. You know, Strowman got squashed by Brock so many times, had so many opportunities at the Universal Championship belt, never won them, lost about 3 times. And he won it this time against Bill Goldberg, obviously because, look, let's be honest, man. Goldberg, you know, he's not going to hold the championship forever. Goldberg is basically here. He's here for the money. Let's be honest. He's here for the money. And I guess he's here because he still gets that adrenaline, but he's here mainly for the money. And you know what? Look, I don't know Goldberg. You know, I've always respected his career. I've always been a fan of him. Not a big, big fan, but I've always liked him because, you know, when I was a little kid and I was watching, you know, back in the day when I started watching, like in 2001 all the way to 2000 to where I'm at now, I obviously watched Goldberg in 2003, 2004, and I always thought, hey, man, this guy is badass. When he came back, I thought, oh, man, this is going to be cool. He's back and stuff like that. When he squashed Lesnar at Survivor Series 2016, and I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I hated that idea, man. But then it occurred to me that, you know what, Bill Goldberg's in his 50s. The guy, you know, he may look great, he may be in great shape, he can probably still throw a spear, barely, but he probably can't go long, he probably can't go more longer than like a minute. So that's why his matches are so short. And, you know, that was basically what Goldberg did back in the WCW days. But, you know, he's been back for the money. He was back for the money. He got the belt, and he was just holding it until somebody took it away from him. And unfortunately, because of what's happening, it wasn't able to be Roman Reigns. Because, you know, Roman Reigns was the guy to take the championship from Goldberg. They had that plan, you know, God knows how long. But obviously, it was Braun Strowman. Now, Braun Strowman, like I said, a lot of people weren't too crazy on him, you know, beating Goldberg. But like I said, Goldberg wasn't going to hold the title for very long. He could have beat Braun Strowman, maybe. Maybe we could have got, you know, Goldberg and Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank. Maybe as soon as everything kind of gets a little bit better, because obviously Roman Reigns is not able to compete until things get better, obviously because of his health issues and stuff like that, his battle with leukemia and all that stuff. Obviously, that has to come first. Everybody's health and safety, especially in that company, have to come first. So I'm like, okay, so, you know, Goldberg is just holding it until maybe till he faces Roman. But obviously, they chose to give it to Strowman. So like I said, you know, Strowman came out. He didn't really say too much other than, you know, he's the champion now. And then we got an interruption from Nakamura. Nakamura, who at one time was promised to be, you know, a huge star in the WWE. Nakamura, obviously a big name in Japan, had some great classics in Japan with AJ Styles. Ever since he's come to the WWE, I think some of his classics have been with, like, well, obviously with Sami Zayn when he got his start in NXT. You know, in WWE on NXT when he got his start in the WWE. His matches, I think, with AJ Styles were great, even though, you know, AJ Styles always beat Nakamura. Nakamura had some great matches. I also always thought with Jeff Hardy, you know, they had a couple good matches. So obviously Nakamura, you know, is one of their best, but unfortunately, for some reason, Nakamura hasn't really been booked as a top guy. He's been kind of a lackey for Sami Zayn. He's kind of, you know, he was kind of off TV, on and off TV for a while and stuff like that. But he comes out, you know, he gets in Braun Strowman's face. Obviously, there's a little bit of history there. Not good history, but there's a little bit of history nonetheless. Sami Zayn was not on the show, by the way. Maybe some traveling issues, maybe. I have no idea. That's kind of going around as well. As a lot of wrestlers that live, you know, in different countries, they're not able to travel, which is tough. I mean, there's the visa issue with Rhea Ripley. A lot of people thought that's why Charlotte Flair won the championship in the first place. You know, there's travel issues with Jordan Devlin, who recently had to give up the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, which I did not know until yesterday. So, you know, that's obviously a tough thing right now for any WWE talent that doesn't live in the Orlando area. So we had Nakamura come out. Nakamura basically got in Strowman's face. You know, there was a little bit of physicality. Cesaro tried to attack Strowman from behind. Strowman saw him coming out of the corner of his eye. He got, you know, Cesaro out the ring. Nakamura hit a cheap kick, you know, cheap shot kick. And then Strowman basically was like, "You want me in the ring? You better wish. You better watch what you wish for." You know, something like that. He said something like that. And then, you know, that was our main event for tonight. Braun Strowman, Nakamura. Not really excited because, let's face it, the last time we seen these guys one-on-one was when Braun beat him for the Intercontinental Championship. So, you know, not really excited for this match. But this is what we got. And then, guys, you know, we had... So, as announced tonight, we were going to have the aftermath of Mandy Rose and Otis, who officially became an on-screen couple at WrestleMania. And then we were going to have a tag team rematch for the Women's Tag Team Championships. Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss defending against Asuka, Kairi Sane, the Kabuki Warriors, which was actually next. Let's get into that, guys. You know, I mean, Raw did a rematch with the Street Profits and Austin Theory and Angel Garza for the Raw Tag Team Championships. I mean, I don't really see why we had to have another rematch, but obviously SmackDown wanted to follow in that pattern. So, you know, WWE, they love to do rematches, and obviously on Raw and SmackDown, it was no different. I mean, look, you know, the Kabuki Warriors are talented. You have two of the best in Asuka and Kairi Sane. Nikki Cross, who at one time was amazing as a psychopath in NXT because she could freaking play the role. Alexa Bliss, you know, in the ring, as an in-ring competitor, maybe not the best, but she definitely knows how to play the character when she was a heel. She knows how to play, you know, the bitchy role. You know, she knows how to do that. But this was just a rematch. You know, the Kabuki Warriors, you know, they were being entertaining as... You know, Asuka was doing her best to be entertaining. She got on the microphone. Oh, by the way, guys, I have to keep note. Corey Graves is actually back on SmackDown. He wasn't there for a couple weeks. Michael Cole was actually there taking charge. Corey Graves and Michael Cole were together on the episode two, you know, two men commentary team, which obviously sounded a lot better than a one-man commentary team. Even though, look, you know, a lot of us, you know, we give Michael Cole a hard time. A lot of us say, oh, you got to retire. And I've never said that, but a lot of people have said, you know, you got to retire. They don't like his boss time that he does and stuff like that. But you know what? I give Michael Cole respect. I give him credit because the guy's been around forever. The guy definitely has been the voice of SmackDown for a very long time. He's been there since the 90s. And definitely Michael Cole is a legend when it comes to commentary. Now, is he a Jim Ross? Is he a Jerry the King Lawler? Is he a Gorilla Monsoon? You know, I know different times. Is he a Bobby the Brain Heenan? Nah, he's just Michael Cole. But he's been there for a long time. I respect that. I think back in 2003, 2001, when he was a commentator on SmackDown, the guy was great. You know, he was great. Granted, yeah, he was a little bit younger and, he, you know, he was a little more fresher, but, you know, he was good. But recently I heard he got a promotion. I think he became head commentator or something like that. Head commentator, I think executive or something like that. But anyways, you know, again, you know, obviously I thought it was great to have a two-man booth again tonight, and that's exactly what we got. Corey Graves was back. Of course, you know, him and Michael Cole are doing their usual bickering together and stuff like that. But back to the match, it was basically a rematch. You know, the Kabuki Warriors gave a fight, but in the end, you know, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss were able to keep the championships. So basically, after that, we had, what was next? Let me go ahead and check my notes, guys. Let me go ahead and see. Okay, let me see. Takes a while to load, guys. I apologize for that inconvenience, but let me go ahead and see. Okay, so the main event was set. It was Strowman and Nakamura in the main event. So that was already set for the main event of the show. Let me go ahead and just give a look so I'm not missing anything. Oh yeah, so next up we had Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. They were on a video promo basically showing what had took place at WrestleMania. So Sonya Deville got slapped by Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose started to attack her. They were basically showing us a highlight of the Otis and Dolph Ziggler match. You know, basically, you know, a great moment for Otis, a great WrestleMania moment. Definitely needed a crowd, you know what I mean? But I guess every other thing needed a crowd too. But basically, I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, so are we going to get maybe an announcement for a mixed tag? Is that kind of rushing things a little too much? Maybe we'll get a mixed tag between Otis, Mandy, taking on Dolph and Sonya at Money in the Bank. Maybe they'll push it and they'll do it at SummerSlam. Maybe we'll get Mandy versus Sonya at SummerSlam. You know, I mean, you never know. But next up, we had Dolph Ziggler and Sonya Deville coming out. They came out. They basically were pissed off about what took place. Sonya Deville was saying that Mandy is her best friend still, and she's been trying to get a hold of her, but Mandy has not been accepting her phone calls or texts, you know, all that stuff. And why would she in storyline? Because Sonya Deville, what she did wasn't right. Same for Dolph. Then we had Tucker of Heavy Machinery came out, and he basically got Dolph the same way Dolph got Otis a couple weeks ago, showing him pictures of Otis and Mandy. You know, just pictures on Instagram, pictures that if you follow Mandy and Otis on social media, you saw, or if you follow anything that has to do with pro wrestling on social media, you know, you've seen and stuff like that. So then, obviously, this pissed off Ziggler and Sonya. Ziggler and Sonya were, you know, very angry at what they were seeing. But you know what they say, turnabout is fair play. What goes around comes around. So then we had a rematch from last week, another rematch. So that's two rematches that we got on the card. Although with this one, I would say the Otis and Ziggler storyline, Otis and Mandy storyline altogether has been very entertaining. So I didn't mind, you know, seeing this rematch and stuff like that. And also, you know, getting another good look at Sonya, because Sonya is a badass. You know, she dressed really, 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 really great tonight. She had the same thing she had for WrestleMania, but you could tell Sonya, she just looked like a total badass, man, you know. Hopefully, you know, she gets a little bit more of an in-ring push. But, you know, this is the biggest push that they've had since they came to the main roster, Sonya and Mandy. Well, since the WWE. So we had a rematch, you know, Tucker taking on Dolph. Tucker was very pissed off about last week, about that zigzag to the steel steps. The rematch was, it wasn't bad. You know, Dolph, I think Dolph brings the best out of anybody that he steps in the ring with, because Dolph is that damn talented. So we had the match. It was pretty short, but basically in the end, we had Dolph getting the victory. And we didn't have no Mandy or no Otis on the show. I thought we were going to get maybe like a backstage segment with them, maybe an in-ring segment, but we didn't have that. We just had them showing on the Titantron with the pictures that they posted on Instagram. So I'm kind of like, I was a little disappointed with that. But like I said, you know, it keeps the storyline going. And that's the good thing. They leave you wanting more. And I feel like, you know, definitely with the storyline, we want to see what else takes place. And there is something next week that'll be taking place that I will get to in a couple minutes. So we had that. And then next thing you know, we had The Miz and John Morrison were going to come out and they were going to basically do an episode of The Dirt Sheet. So obviously Miz, who reportedly had been working sick, apparently he's back. Don't know if he's 100%, don't know if he's healed up, but he is back and he was going to be scheduled on SmackDown. So we have that segment coming up. Now moving on. Oh yeah, we had a promo from Elias. Elias appeared on the Performance Center camera platform where he, you know, basically sang a song about Baron Corbin. He talked about how he beat Baron Corbin at WrestleMania. He compared himself to the Lion King, to Simba, and all that stuff. You know, nice little promo for Elias. You know, the guy's not a bad singer. You know, Elias is one of those guys that, you know, this guy should have been a champion by now. I know he was, you know, 24/7 champ. I want to say he was either, was he an NIC or US champ, Elias? I don't think so, but I know he was 24/7 champ, which is not really saying a whole lot, you know, given the talent that the guy obviously has. But, you know, we just had Elias cutting a promo, no Baron Corbin, you know, just a little promo time for Elias, you know, nothing more, nothing less. And then we had The Miz and Morrison do an episode of The Dirt Sheet. So we had Miz and Morrison come out. Obviously, Miz was bragging about Morrison retaining the championships for Miz and Morrison at WrestleMania, which was a great ladder match. You know, Morrison, Kofi Kingston, and Jey Uso all killed it. Or was it Jimmy? Was it Jey Uso? One of the Usos. But anyway, in that triple threat match, all those guys, you know, obviously with their ability, those guys killed it. Especially for a no fans in attendance type of a match. Those guys freaking put on a good ladder match. Great spots. So basically, you know, Miz and Morrison were bragging. You know, John Morrison, you know, he right away pointed out that he's the first ever person in the history to retain the tag team championship belts by himself. Miz was basically agreeing with him because that's the truth. And then Miz and Morrison started to sing their "Hey, hey, ho, ho," little rap song that they got going on, which was just complete cringe. I'm like, oh, God, you know, get these guys to stop singing, man. I just feel like I don't understand what the whole Miz Morrison "Hey, hey, ho, ho" thing is. I mean, I feel like Miz and Morrison are talented enough to get under your skin with just being two big douchebags instead of them, you know, trying to be two rappers and stuff like that. But you know what? It is what it is. Right away, we had the Usos come out, you know, the Usos. So basically, with the Usos coming out, this is basically continuing the rivalry. This is basically continuing the whole rivalry that we have been seeing for the tag team championships. It's because SmackDown doesn't have a lot of teams. They have what? They have the Usos, they have the New Day, they have Miz and Morrison. That's it. I mean, there is another team that's on SmackDown. I will be getting to that. But this is the tag team division. This is the tag team title picture. And unfortunately, I think until we get some new teams, which WWE really doesn't see money in tag team wrestling, supposedly, as per rumors, you know, Vince doesn't see money in tag team wrestling. He just doesn't. And kind of a quick news set, since I'm talking about tag teams, I will talk about this after it goes into the news category, but the Revival, Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder, are no longer with the WWE. They have been released. So now all you have is three tag teams. You know, you don't have the Revival anymore. Which the Revival, look, the Revival, you know, I was never the biggest fan of the guys, to be honest with you, but I respect their ability. I think their finisher is sick. You know, those guys are all obviously former tag team champions in NXT, on Raw. It took them a little while to get them on Raw, but, you know, when they have those series of matches against Bobby Roode, who hasn't been seen either, and Chad Gable, those guys in NXT had some great matches against DIY, against American Alpha. So, you know, obviously these guys are a top tag team. You know, now they're no longer with the WWE. More than likely, those guys are going to be giving Tony Khan a visit, and they're going to be All Elite, which obviously would be a better suit for those guys, because AEW obviously cares a lot about tag team wrestling. They show that every single week, and I respect that. You know, I mean, it's pretty much a given they're going to be going to AEW. Maybe they'll go to New Japan. Maybe they'll go to Impact. Maybe they'll go to Ring of Honor. I have no idea. Maybe MLW. But obviously, I can see AEW being obviously a bigger fit, because for a long time, they've been saying that they want to wrestle the Young Bucks. That could be a tag team main event anywhere. That could be a great opener. Any place on the card, you know, obviously you get the Young Bucks against the Revival. It's going to steal the show. You could have the Revival and the Lucha Brothers, or the Death Triangle with Pac. You can have the Revival, if they're going to be called the Revival still, which I doubt. You can have them taking on freaking, you know, the Naturals. You know, Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall, the best friends. You know, Kenny Omega, Hangman Adam Page. I mean, you know, there's a lot of tag team matches that you can do with these guys in AEW. So obviously, great for the Revival. I'm pretty sure they're going to be All Elite. They're probably working out a contract as we speak. You never know. You have never know. But just wanted to mention that, guys, because we are talking about, you know, the Miz, Morrison, the Revival, you know, the tag team division. So then we had the New Day come out. So that's the New Day and the Usos who interrupted Miz and Morrison. So already we're getting, you know, kind of a repeat of WrestleMania. Basically, the Usos were, you know, basically clowning Miz and Morrison. New Day came out, claimed same thing. All of a sudden, you know, Kofi Kingston starts cutting a promo. Kofi, former WWE champion, of course, was saying that per WWE management, because we don't have an on-screen role, next week it will be another tag team match. This time, the Miz will face Jey Uso and Big E, a triple threat tag team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. So basically, the reason we're getting this is because Big E was saying it's not fair that the other members of the team didn't get a chance to compete for the Tag Team Championships. So why not next week we get this match? And I'm kind of like, man, I don't want to see like a continuation of this. But at the same time, you know, it's to be expected considering the fact that we don't have any tag teams realistically on SmackDown. So obviously this is what we're going to get. You know, and obviously Miz was trying to play up the fact that he's not medically cleared to compete. But again, it was per WWE management. So it looks like next week it has been made official. We're going to get a triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. This time with The Miz, Big E, and Jey Uso. Honestly, I'm not saying the match is going to be bad, but it's just unfortunate that WWE doesn't really have an idea going forward, an expanding idea going forward with the tag team division. But, you know, it is what it is, man. So I did mention that we have a new tag team coming to SmackDown. Obviously, it's the SmackDown after WrestleMania, so sometimes you'll get like a call-up from NXT, you'll get a return. You know, that's for SmackDown and Raw. And NXT too, they do that on NXT too. But mainly the call-ups are from NXT to the main roster, which is Raw and SmackDown. But I've always thought NXT is the main roster as well. You know, if you don't believe me, just ask Tommaso Ciampa. So, the Forgotten Sons, those guys are now officially on SmackDown. You know, Blake, Cutler, and Riker, formerly known as Gunner from TNA, from Impact. Those guys have been together for a while in NXT. Never really had like a strong run. You know, the only times those guys really were able to shine was when they were competing in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. They had some great matches, I think, with... who did they go up against? They went up against, I think, the Undisputed Era. I think they went up against Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle, if I'm not mistaken. Not in the tournament, but in the tournament, who did they face? I'm trying to remember. God, I can't even remember what teams they faced. But I know those guys, they had good matches with the UE, Undisputed Era. I want to say they had a match with Ricochet and Aleister Black before Aleister Black and Ricochet got called up. Yes, that makes sense because last year, Ricochet and Aleister Black won, you know, the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Tournament last year. But anyways, these guys are now on the Blue Brand. They had a match against the Lucha House Party. They basically, it was just a showcase for them. They basically won the match after they pinned Grand Metalik. He was put away with the combination inverted DDT stomp as the trio of Jackson Riker, Wesley Blake, and Steve Cutler successfully made their debut. Now, obviously, look, I mean, Wesley Blake, formerly a tag team with Buddy Murphy, they had a good run back in the day. Steve Cutler, before that, wasn't really doing much. I don't even think he was with the company at the time when Wesley Blake was with Buddy Murphy, when they were, what were they called? They were called Blake and Murphy, but didn't they have another team? It was them along with Alexa Bliss. And obviously, you know, Jackson Riker, you know, in Impact Wrestling, he didn't really have a big role in Impact. He was mainly just used as an enforcer. And then he got like a little bit of a singles push when he became a singles star. Had a great feud with James Storm, you know, but that was about it. You know, these guys, they're the Forgotten Sons. I mean, you know, knowing WWE, I don't really know what they're going to do with these guys. Like, maybe these guys will be on TV for a while, but maybe these guys won't. You know, you never know. If WWE was smart, then they would have a run-in with these guys. Maybe next week you have them attack Big E, freaking Miz, or the Usos. You can build these guys up as a real threat to the tag team division. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It might be too soon. They might just give these guys, you know, matches against enhancement tag teams. Because the only teams that SmackDown has is Miz and Morrison, Hey Hey, No No, The New Day, The Usos, and Lucha House Party. And now, formally, now The Forgotten Sons. Officially, formally. What am I saying? Officially. So, the tag team division, I mean, hey, man, it's not really the strong suit. It's not really WWE's strong suit, but, you know, I guess it is what it is, you know. But, you know, the Forgotten Sons made their debut. They're here now. Nothing more, nothing less. And then we had a promo from Bayley and Sasha Banks. Obviously, Bayley retained her championship at Mania in that five-way challenge elimination match, which I didn't remember that it was supposed to be an elimination match, but that's what we got. You know, obviously, Bayley and Sasha in storyline, you know, their friendship is, like, legitimately taking over the SmackDown Women's Division. Or, as Sasha Banks would say, the Women's Division. They came out for the promos. Bayley was obviously bragging about, you know, her retaining the championship. She continued to call the fans sheeps. Basically, at WrestleMania, Sasha Banks helped Bayley retain the championship. And they were obviously bragging about that. Obviously saying that they're the legit role models. You know, Sasha Banks got on the microphone and she was saying that, you know, all the sheep, they don't appreciate or they don't understand their friendship. Bayley was like, were the ultimate role models. So obviously, you know, typical promo from Bayley and Sasha Banks, you know, obviously these girls, you know, they're going to play their heel roles. So obviously to them, you know, they have, you know, all the, you know, they have all the arrogance in their corner, if you will. Then all of a sudden we get Tamina. Tamina coming out, Tamina interrupting them. Again, this is what I'm talking about. The SmackDown tag team division and the women's division is not really strong with you know, that many people. It's always a constant repeat of, like, the same people over and over again. Although, you know, for Tamina Snuka, her and Bayley, they've never had a one-on-one match. So I guess you could say, well, this is a fresh matchup. But, you know, we just seen them interact with each other, not one-on-one, but at the WrestleMania match, at WrestleMania. You know, before Tamina came out, you know, you had Sasha Banks basically, like Bayley, calling all the fans sheep. Now, at first, I kind of thought, well, maybe what if Sasha Banks turns on Bayley this night? Because I still think, you know, Sasha Banks and Bayley, you know, that's obviously the match that a lot of fans and a lot of people have wanted for a while. But then I thought to myself, and this makes sense, well, Money in the Bank is before SummerSlam. If you want to do a big SummerSlam match, you could have Bayley and Sasha. That's a SummerSlam match, you know? Yeah, you know, this time it looks like we're going to have Bayley as the heel because she's still very much a heel. And we're going to have Sasha be the babyface. Not exactly what people like, just because when you look at heel and babyface, you kind of look at Sasha as the heel and Bayley as the babyface. You never know what could happen. Maybe they can go back to that route. Maybe they'll just do that out of nowhere. You know, it definitely wouldn't be a first for the WWE to do things kind of out of nowhere with no long-term booking. But I will say this. I like the booking that they're having with Sasha and Bayley. The kind of like, you know, is someone going to turn on the other? Their friendship is being tested. And that's what we got with this. So we had Tamina come out. Sorry to get sidetracked, guys. We had Tamina come out. Tamina basically said that Bayley's beaten everybody except her. And she says what happened at WrestleMania, Bayley did not defeat her because every single other woman in that match, they all got on top of Tamina and they all pinned her. So Tamina is basically challenging Bayley to a match for the championship. Sasha Banks got in Tamina's face. Well, not really got in Tamina's face because obviously Bayley and Sasha are trying to play up like that. You know, they're not afraid of Tamina, but they're kind of like trying to talk to her like, oh, Tamina. They're kind of kissing ass. They're kind of, you know, trying to make Tamina happy. Tamina ain't seen through their bullshit. You know, she's cutting her promo and stuff like that. Then you had Sasha Banks saying, hold me back, Bayley, hold me back. And Bayley was holding her back. And then she starts saying that, you know, Tamina has no right to disrespect Bayley. Tamina's, you know, is this and that. And then Bayley was like, you know, basically saying, oh, if you want to face me for my championship, here's the catch. You have to beat Sasha Banks. Right when Bayley said that, Sasha Banks gave her that look like, WTF, are you kidding me? So basically, Sasha Banks was giving Bayley that look like, what did you just do? So basically, Bayley, you know, she just set Sasha Banks up for a match with Tamina. And you guys know how this is going to go. More than likely, this is how it's going to go. You're going to have Tamina ultimately defeat Sasha Banks. I don't know how she does it, but she'll do it. And then that's going to cause the rift between Sasha and Bayley. And look, maybe at Money in the Bank, if we get that match, if it happens at Money in the Bank, look, for all I know, maybe Sasha and Bayley could happen at Money in the Bank. But I think if you want to long-term book it, the right thing to do is to book it until SummerSlam. That's a big SummerSlam match. The biggest block party of the summer, right? SummerSlam, Bayley, Sasha Banks. That is your main event match for the women. Well, not main event, but that's your main match for the women. Big SummerSlam match. You could do it. SummerSlam is one of their, you know, SummerSlam is supposed to be one of their top pay-per-views. But so we had, you know, so obviously Sasha Banks was very pissed off about this. She gave Bayley that look like, what the fuck are you doing? Tamina then got back on the microphone, and Bayley was obviously all happy about this. Tamina got on the microphone and she said, Sasha, your best friend just screwed you. And then she left. So then we had the segment end where Sasha's looking at Bayley, kind of saying, "What the hell did you just do?" So that's basically continuing, you know, it's continuing the cracks. It's continuing, you know, the split between these two. It's continuing the problems, you know. So I like this segment. I liked it. I wasn't too crazy about the promo work between Bayley and Sasha. Not to say that they can't do great promos, you know, because I've seen them do pretty good promos. But this one just really wasn't, in my mind, it really wasn't acted well. You know, same for Tamina. But I liked the story behind this segment. And I like the little teases that we're getting with Sasha and Bayley kind of splitting on each other. And I'm going to call it now. If we get Bayley defending against Tamina at Money in the Bank, if they don't rush Sasha and Bayley, I can see either Sasha Banks turning on Bayley, or maybe Bayley wants Sasha to help her win and Sasha's like, "Screw you." And that's how you build up Sasha and Bayley ultimately. But I got to give WWE credit. I liked this build between Bayley and Sasha. I liked this little segment. Wasn't bad. I liked it. So then we had Sheamus. That's right. Sheamus, the Celtic Warrior, making his first ever TV appearance in a number of weeks. I haven't seen Sheamus since he squashed Apollo Crews. And this was no different. We had another squash match. It was Sheamus defeating Cal Bloom via pinfall. This is just a squash match for Sheamus. You know, nothing more, nothing less. Sheamus coming back. He has the original hair that he used to have, the same tights that he used to wear. You know, he's still doing enhancement matches. Sheamus, I mean, I wouldn't mind if they build up Sheamus for, you know, the Intercontinental Championship. But the problem is you have Sami Zayn, who's a heel. Now, you could always turn Sheamus back into a babyface, but obviously, they're just having Sheamus do these squash matches. And, you know, he's not really going anywhere. But it was just a regular squash. You know, he won with the Celtic, with the bro kick. Squash match, 1 minute. Not even that. Maybe almost a minute. It was pretty short. You know, as I've said, guys, nothing more, nothing less. And then we had a video package for Jeff Hardy. Now, from what I've heard, Jeff Hardy was originally supposed to face Goldberg instead of Braun Strowman. Once they knew Roman was going to be out, he wasn't going to be able to wrestle, they were going to go with Jeff Hardy. Why they didn't go with Jeff Hardy, I think a lot of the personal issues that Jeff Hardy unfortunately had, I think they're probably still not comfortable too much with Jeff Hardy, you know, being in a main spot like that. I mean, the last time we seen Jeff Hardy defeated Baron Corbin, and we haven't seen him since. Now, you could say, well, maybe, you know, because of his family, Jeff doesn't really want to leave his kids or his family, but, you know, it seems like we're going to be getting a significant push for Jeff Hardy. That's what I heard as well. I heard Jeff Hardy was supposed to face Bill Goldberg, but that obviously didn't happen because of obviously obvious reasons. So they went with Strowman, but it seems like we're going to get a Jeff Hardy singles push, which I think would be great. Jeff Hardy is obviously one of the best of all time, one of the best risk takers, one of the most, you know, he's one of the most popular wrestlers around. And I've had the opportunity to meet Jeff. I've met Jeff and I've met Lita. You know, Jeff was a real cool dude. And hopefully, you know, at this stage of his career, he gets the push that he can do, man. He gets a great push, hopefully. Maybe he gets another shot at the Intercontinental Championship. Maybe you have him eventually be built up for The Fiend. You know, maybe you have, you know, The Fiend and Jeff Hardy. Maybe you have Jeff Hardy challenging for the Universal Championship. Maybe you go through with it. But this was a cool video package. It was just basically showing you Jeff Hardy, you know, just showing up, just showing you his, you know, his rise to the top, showing you his whole career and stuff like that. You know, not bad. Good stuff here. WWE always has a great job of editing these videos. So very happy to see it. You know, Jeff Hardy is obviously, he's the enigma. He's the charismatic enigma. And hopefully when he comes back, hopefully he has his old theme song. No more worlds. No more words. No more worlds. No more words. Tongue twister right there, guys. My bad. And then we had our main event. Oh, before I get into that, it looks like we're going to be getting these Jeff Hardy video packages for the next several weeks, kind of hyping his official return. I mean, he did return and he faced Baron Corbin, but they're probably just going to build him up and put him into a huge program. So we had our main event. Braun Strowman defeated Nakamura. Really nothing spectacular. Strowman was dominant. Nakamura got a couple good kicks in, but in the end, Braun Strowman won. Cesaro tried to get involved a couple times, but, you know, didn't work. Braun Strowman winning, at least you're not making your champion lose. After the match, we had the Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt. And I'm thinking, I know what they're going to go with this. We're going to get Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. I like it in the sense that the history is there, and we've never really seen Bray Wyatt mess around with Braun Strowman. You know, what can they do? Maybe in storyline, Bray Wyatt feels like Braun Strowman is ungrateful because Braun Strowman was brought to the WWE in storyline from Bray Wyatt. Remember, he was the black sheep. I'll never forget it when Braun Strowman debuted. He attacked Jon Moxley, who at the time was known as Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. But this was basically, you know, Bray Wyatt at first was acknowledging how he rewrote history between him and John Cena, showed how he beat John Cena. I thought that they were going to show like a repeat of the match, but they just showed, you know, the Fiend with the mandible claw on John Cena. Images were around of that and just stuff like that. And there was a little joke about John Cena not being able to see, you know, you can't see him, you know, basically the Fiend being the Fiend, Bray Wyatt, you know, being funny with his Mr. Rogers sweater vest. And then he turns his attentions back to Braun. He showed more pictures of Strowman when he was in the Wyatt family. He basically said that he forgave Strowman after he took him out of the swamp and brought him home. Strowman turned his back on him, according to Bray Wyatt. And he says that Braun Strowman has something that belongs to the Firefly Funhouse, meaning the Universal Championship. So I like where they're going with this. Obviously, the MO of the Fiend character is he's going after guys that he has history with. You know, we've seen it with Finn Balor. We've seen it with Seth Rollins. We've seen it with Daniel Bryan. We've seen it with John Cena recently. And it looks like we're going to see it with Braun. So this match, I can already see. This is your championship match at Money in the Bank. And maybe, just maybe, Bray Wyatt wins the championship back, and then you do The Fiend, if things are obviously okay then, you do The Fiend and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. Another big SummerSlam match. So, I can already see where WWE might be going with this, or maybe if things are not good at the time, maybe you can have Jeff Hardy built up for The Fiend. When The Fiend, you know, wins the championship back. Because I could see The Fiend, you know, winning the championship back. I don't think The Fiend can afford another loss. I just don't think he can take another loss. But I like the segment. I liked The Fiend kind of, you know, saying that Braun Strowman turned his back on him. Braun Strowman basically got on the mic and he says, you know, if you want me, you know, you got to come face me. Or something like that. And then we had Bray Wyatt get all serious, and he says, and I quote, "Since I brought you into this world, I'm going to have to take you out." Wyatt said as quickly as he transformed back to his Mr. Rogers. So this is how the show went off the air. I liked the segment. I liked the interaction. I know we got a little bit of an interaction from The Fiend when he was feuding with Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman was in the mix. But it looks like we're going to be getting a Braun Strowman Bray Wyatt match at Money in the Bank, and like I just said, I think this will be where Bray Wyatt gets back the belt, and then we get program with him and Roman going into SummerSlam for the championship. So, you know, good stuff here. I gotta be honest, good stuff here. Alright guys, so that was SmackDown. Overall, you know, there was a couple things I liked. I liked the Bayley Sasha Tamina segment, because it's continuing Bayley and Sasha. I liked, you know, Dolph and Mandy kind of getting a taste of their own medicine, Dolph getting a taste of his own medicine, watching those pictures of Otis and Mandy. And I guess you could say Sonya too. I liked, you know, obviously the main event segment with, you know, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt coming after Braun Strowman, the whole I brought you into this world, you know, dynamic that they're doing. Next week, we're going to have Money in the Bank qualifying matches next week for both the men's and the women's ladder match. We're going to have Daniel Bryan coming back taking on Cesaro, which should be a classic. Those guys together, you got 5 stars written all over it, man, if it's booked the right way. Then we're going to have Naomi taking on Dana Brooke for the women's ladder match at Money in the Bank. So next week, you know, you got those two matches coming out. And obviously, we have the triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships with Miz defending against Big E and, of course, Jey Uso. So, you know, you got some stuff happening next week. Is it the most exciting stuff? Maybe not to most people, but that's what we got cooked up next week for SmackDown Live. All right, guys. Before I get out of here, I just want to talk briefly about, you know, a couple things that I saw in the news. One of them is going to be Edge. I did hear Edge on After the Bell with Corey Graves podcast, which I watch, you know, here and there. Some of his stuff is good. And basically, Edge was asked about the criticism with his Last Man Standing match with Randy Orton about it being too long and stuff like that. And basically, Edge basically, you know, just felt like people don't appreciate stuff. You know, Edge said he enjoyed the match. He said he enjoyed what him and Randy were able to do. Now, look, I said on my WrestleMania review, I said that I enjoyed the Last Man Standing match because to me, it felt like a classic. And also, I guess it was also because I haven't really seen Edge wrestle in a long time, especially against a guy like Randy Orton. So I was really invested in that. But a lot of people, obviously, they didn't like how long the match was. They thought the match was too long. It was long, but at the same time, I still liked it. I still enjoyed it. And to be quite honest, I mean, the backlash from it, I just think a lot of people, you know, what they weren't digging about it was the length of the match, I think. And a lot of people, obviously, are going to get upset with what Edge had said on After the Bell. And I think I have the quote right here. Let me see. But like I said, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was great. I thought it was a classic. I thought, you know, them fighting backstage, showing the whole Performance Center was great. But obviously, you know, Edge basically just said that, you know, people complaining about, you know, this and the whole pandemic situation is just people complaining for the sake of complaining. Look, that's how Edge feels. I mean, I think honestly what it is there was so emotion that he showed coming back after all these years. That's why he got a little upset about people complaining about it. He just, you know, I think it was just heat of the moment for him. And he's still taking in the fact that he's back. And he was proud. He was proud to go 40 minutes. He says, you know, I was proud that I was able to wrestle that long. Granted, yeah, it wasn't exactly a wrestling match. It was a fight. But still, you know, like, he was proud to go that long with Randy Orton. And, you know, hey, you know, I agree with him. Was the match too long? Yes. Did I enjoy it? Yes. And I just think Edge is just, he's a little frustrated with the fact that people, because, you know, I think Edge's whole mindset was, you know, in this current situation, we're in a tough spot, but ultimately, you know, we gave you guys the best we could in such a crazy time. So I think it's miscommunication more than anything else. I think it's a little bit of miscommunication, but that's what Edge had to say. Again, I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed, you know, Edge coming back and stuff like that. But then again, you know, at the same time, I can see how a lot of people are like, man, you know, every single pro wrestler, they always got to shit on the fans. They can never take criticism. But I look at it this way, man. Sometimes, you know, hey, look, things get taken out of context sometimes, and maybe that's not the way that it was meant. But then we had, here's another thing that I wanted to talk about, guys. We had Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey basically did an interview with Steve-O, and she said, and I quote, that she does not plan on coming back full-time. She said that she misses all the girls that she got to work with, obviously. And I'm not sure who she's talking about publicly, but that's basically what she said. And then she says, F the fans. Now, first of all, her not wanting to come back full time, I have heard about that. But I have no idea why she said F the fans. Now, I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, well, the last time we seen Ronda Rousey on television, she was a heel. Maybe she's still playing up that heel character. Maybe she knows what she's doing. Or maybe there's a part of her that just is like really feels that way, like F the fans, which to me doesn't make sense because it was the fans who, look, whether it's good or bad, you know, the important thing is you get a reaction. And Ronda Rousey got a reaction. When she first came to the WWE, you know, she had no business wrestling. She had no experience wrestling. But when she started, I thought she was good. You know, I thought her matches with Nia Jax, and yes, I'm going to say Nia Jax. I just gave Nia Jax a hard time the other day on the Monday Night Raw review. But I thought her matches with Nia Jax was pretty good. You know, I thought her matches with freaking Ruby Riott were good and stuff like that. But obviously, look, I had no idea what she meant by this. I don't know if she really does legitimately feel frustration from the fans. I don't think the right approach is to straight up say F the fans, because ultimately it's the fans that, you know, they support you, sometimes good or bad. But at the end of the day, you know, just like the whole Edge thing, I think it's one of those things where it's going to get taken out of context. People aren't going to be too happy about what she said, but I don't know how she meant it. I don't know if she meant like F the fans as in real life, or, you know, she's trying to play up that heel character that she was doing the last time we seen her. But it kind of made me feel like, why would she go that far and say F the fans? It's like, and then she said this publicly on a talk show on Steve-O's podcast. I'm assuming he has a podcast. And I am going to hear that interview because, you know, but I read this and I was just kind of like, why is she saying F the fans? Like, is she that pissed off about the fans that booed her? I mean, you know, she's getting heel heat, but either way, I'll say this, you know, when Ronda Rousey first came to the WWE, I respected her for, you know, transitioning. I liked her work with Stephanie McMahon and Triple H and Kurt Angle on that tag match and her debut at WrestleMania, her debut match. But I just, you know, I really didn't know what she meant by that. But I'm sure there'll be more to it. I don't know if she was legitimately serious, like F the fans, or if she was just playing the heel character. I would hope that she doesn't really mean it sincerely, because I think if she feels like that about fans in general, then she shouldn't come back, because it's like, why would you come back? So that shows me that maybe she's trying to play up the heel gimmick. I have no idea. But with that being said, guys, I'm going to get out of here. You know, I want to thank you guys for giving me a listen. To everyone that's given my podcast a listen and replayed it, you guys mean a lot to me. You know, if you haven't seen it already, you know, give my video a look that I did yesterday. I had an interview with one of my homies from Bar Wrestling, one of my wrestling buddies. You know, Jose, a.k.a. Baby Cobb, he came on the show and he talked about how he got the name Baby Cobb. He talked about how he started going to wrestling shows, etc. It's a great interview, guys. It was my first ever interview. I got so many more coming up. I know I've been saying that for the longest time, but obviously with things going on, it's not exactly easy to get someone committed to just one thing. Not that there's anything else to do, you know what I mean? Because we're all trapped in our house, well, most of us that don't work from home. But I had a good time doing the interview, man, and I can't wait to do more. With that being said, guys, I'm going to get out of here. You guys are amazing. I hope you guys are having a good rest of the night. Well, it's morning now, but, you know, rest of the night. Hope you guys have a good weekend. I will be back tomorrow with a brand new video, mainly going to be about news. I will be having another guest within the next couple days, and I can't wait to do it, man. So with that being said, guys, you know, peace out, guys. Love you guys. Have a good night, and above all else, stay safe. Peace, everyone. Hit the rock bottom, baby, crawl, crawl. I had to lick it from the ground. Cause I've been dripping for your love. I can go eat that bitch. It's all sunny. All I can think about is your mind.